Hi, good evening, beautiful souls, and welcome back to After Hours Let's Talk, the place where we breathe together in the stillness of the night and unwrap the emotions we tuck away during the day. Tonight's topic is one that touches every human being at one point or another. Grief, but not just grief in the way we normally talk about it. I'm talking about the other kind, the grief we don't name, the grief we don't admit, the grief we don't even recognize. And to help us dive into these layers, we have a special guest joining us in the After Hours Lounge, Lisa Wright, book writer, speaker, and one of the most intuitive grief experts I've ever talked to. She understands grief from the inside out, and tonight she's here to help us understand our own. So grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into this conversation. Before we get into that, we're going to go into what's on mind tonight. And tonight's reader brings in, is it normal to grieve people who are still alive? I feel crazy sometimes. It's okay to feel crazy sometimes. A lot of people don't understand that we grieve people even when they are still alive, when they leave us, or when we've had bad situations, bad breakups, or we miss that person. We have a period of time where we think about them, where we want to still be near them, hear their voices. And it's a process that we have to go through in order to get that person or to move on from that person. Sometimes we still need closure. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting used to not having that person around you. Lisa, is there something that you would like to add into this?
That was very well said. And I think another, as far like you're talking about grieving people who are alive, one of the big grief steps is, especially for a family member or a caregiver, if the family member hasn't passed yet, but maybe they're on hospice or they're getting elderly, there's a grieving process at that point also that people go through. As well as the person who might be dying, but there's that pre-existing grief also that it's called anticipatory grief, that we do grieve when the person is still alive.
Absolutely, that is very true, and I think that's not a lot of things that we talk about, So before we dive into our conversation here, Lisa, if you would like to just give us an introduction of yourself, let us know who you are.
Sure. So my name is Lisa Wrights. I was a registered respiratory therapist for over 40 years. I dealt with patients that were dying, family members of patients that were dying, knowing that death was inevitable. This was something I moved into, journeyed into once I was finished with my respiratory career. So I am a certified grief educator, peer-to-peer. So I do stand side by side with my clients as they walk through their grief journey. And I'm able to provide a lot of education to them, tips and coping mechanisms to help them through whatever type of grief that they might be going through.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Thank you for being here with us today, tonight, in this moment, so that we can discuss. This is a very hard topic for people to discuss, so doesn't get talked about a lot. So I'm glad that you're here to talk with us and help us work through it. So let's jump right in there. Most people
Okay.
only, most people only associate grief with death, but grief is way, way much bigger than that. We grieve things and we don't even know that we're grieving.
That's very true. A lot of the clients that I work with also, because I went through a divorce and I wrote a book on my journey through grief and divorce. And people don't realize that when you go through an end of a breakup, of a relationship or headed towards a divorce, that there is a whole grieving process. And you go through that same process because you're losing somebody, somebody who was very close to you. Same thing if it's a pet or a job. People lose their job and they'll grieve. Might have been something that they really enjoyed. Maybe they got fired. So there's many different types of grief, especially in the world today. There's a lot of people grieving, just everything going on outside and, you know, just around us. There's just a lot of people that are grieving and just don't realize it.
That's true. When I was looking into grief, I understood that there was a lot of aspects around it. I didn't realize that some of the things that I've gone through in life that I actually went through a grieving process with. I know a lot of us just focus on the death part of it, but like she said, we grieve relationships, we grieve jobs, we grieve friendships, we grieve just anything that we lose that is significant in our lives. It's a grieving process once it's
we can talk a little bit about what that process looks like. You know, there's everybody's probably familiar. There are 5 stages of grief that people will go through. One of the first stages is denial. And that's obviously whenever the situation happens, the first thing we say is, I can't believe this has happened. Right. So we try to look for, some sort of a reasoning there. A lot of times we'll move into anger. Being angry over that entire situation. There is bargaining, which in a relationship could be bargaining with your partner to try and get them back, trying to change ways, promising. That's what bargaining could look like. Mm-hmm. And then there's depression, which is a very big step in grief that a lot of people don't realize. And then you finally get to the acceptance stage. And that's where you usually can find some peace and learn to enjoy life and still grieve. I think another thing people don't realize is grief can last a lifetime. It can last a few years. It could last a few months. It really just depends on the person that's going through it. And whatever way or however long it lasts for you is perfectly fine. Your feelings are valid. And everybody's feelings are going to be different. So it's real important for people who are grieving to understand that it's okay to grieve. You know, people, I always talk about work. People grieve, their loved one passes, and at work, you have to go back to work within a couple of days. And you have to be functioning, you know, as a regular person that's supposed to be doing their job. And it's really hard to have to do that sometimes, put that fake smile on and pretend that everything is okay when it's not. You know, so that's one of the things that I do believe businesses and people can be educated on that process to maybe help others when they come back to be able to speak to them. So, yeah, grief, it holds and looks like so many different things for so many different people.
Yes, it does. It really does. And I think going through that grieving process, those different steps, I think sometimes we don't even understand which step we're even in, mm-hmm. Which one we're going through at that moment. I know for me, I'm currently going through some grieving. I lost my grandmother last year on Thanksgiving. So the process
for me. So this will be a rough time for you.
Yeah, it's coming up mm-hmm. on that time, and I notice it's getting harder. Mm-hmm. I can say from the experiences that I've been having, I was quite a bit confused at first because I wasn't sure why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. So I definitely had to put a face or an event to my feeling. But I think I'm stuck in a place where I'm like, I don't quite know which stage I'm actually in. Okay. And I think I've found some type of solace in that to know that I don't need to to rush through and try to figure out what it is, you know, or where I'm at in the process. I just need to understand that I'm going through it.
Correct, correct. And a lot of people do get stuck. And a lot of people, I always say the levels of grief, because they don't always happen in the order that you know, we learn them. The other thing is I tell people it's kind of like a ladder, the ladder of grief. As you go up and you start moving through the stages, sometimes you fall back down. And again, that's okay. You know, something triggers you or something you remember, and now you have a holiday coming up, for instance. You know, and that may set you back into another stage. It might make you angry because maybe your Thanksgiving now is going to look different. And maybe you're not ready to accept that it's going to look different. But how do we get through that? You know, you try to make it look the way you want it to look. I do tell people, just don't feel like you have to overwhelm yourself, and don't feel like you have to say yes to everything. And you kind of have to decide how you want your path to look, and how you want your journey to look, be it whether it's the holidays, it could be the person's birthday coming up. It could be, you know, any situation. And I think you said it very well. People don't realize that they're in grief. And then when this situation pops up, then they're confused because they're like, why am I feeling like this? You know, and the general public would be like, oh, well, you know, your grandmother is gone almost a year. What are you still grieving for? You know, yeah, okay, great. You miss her. But, you know, and it's a shame because people don't know what to say, you know, instead of maybe saying to you, hey, you know, it's almost a year that your grandma's gone. How are you doing? And you answer, however, and be like, you know what? You want to have a cup of coffee today? And maybe bring over a cup of coffee and sit with that person and let that person talk. And if they want to talk about their grandmother, great. Just sit and listen to them. Because sometimes they just need someone to hear them and allow them to say the things that they want to say. Because again, your feelings are valid. You're allowed to have those feelings.
Absolutely. I'm finding that to be more and more true as I go through it. But I think I want to shift just a little bit because I know that I think it started when she was still alive. So she was going through that transitioning situation. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of us have to deal with that transitioning situation when we're dealing with our family members. Mm-hmm. And I think that too alone is a very rough spot to be in because again, you're stuck in a very confused thought process. You don't know how to really feel because you're kind of anticipating something to happen. You know something's right. going to happen, but you don't know when it's going to happen.
Right.
That aspect of surprise as well mixed with knowing. So it's like you're not really prepared for the thing. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen.
True. And I think there's a lot of frustration with that amongst caregivers. You know, it's very hard to take care of an elderly person. The person has dementia. It can be very frustrating. You know, so if that's where you're at and you're trying to work with that person, I always try to tell people, you know, remember that person doesn't want to die. Chances are they're very frightened. You know, they don't want to go. So maybe they want to tell you something or they want to sit and just hold your hand. And as difficult as it might be for both of you, you know, that's a good thing to do. Just maybe just hold her hand or have them tell you a story. Like, you know, for your instance, it was a grandmother. I bet she had lots of stories, you know, that she would sit and tell you, you know, and just be with her. My mom just passed in March and, she was 93. So I'm not going to say it was expected, but she was fine until she got sick within like a 2-week period and she passed. Mm-hmm. And there were so many days that she just wanted somebody to be sitting with her. You know, she would reach out or she would yell my name out, you know, and know that I was sitting with her. But for people taking care of them, that anger stage can be huge because you get very, very frustrated with them repeating things or constantly asking you things or, you know, basically driving you crazy, you know, or maybe they need help getting to the store, or you have to take their walker or their wheelchair and you have to move them. It's a lot, and it can be a lot on that caregiver. So you're definitely not alone out there. And there is, you know, there is people to talk to help you understand what you're going through and maybe have some coping mechanisms to help you with certain things that you're going through. You know, like you said, it's just a matter of when, because you know the inevitable is coming. But, mm-hmm. you know, just keep in mind that person's probably very frightened and doesn't want to go either. You know, even though they may know it's time, or maybe they have cancer, you know, but I'm sure they're still a little on that frightened side. So it kind of takes a little bit on both and try to take a little understanding. And that's what you hope that your support system will help you do. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times support systems will say, well, she's had a great life. It's time for her to go. You know, as a caregiver, and if it's a close family member, maybe you don't want to hear that.
Right.
So, you know, maybe you just don't want to hear those words come out, and you know that this is what's going to happen. But, you know, you just want to make sure you have a good support system that's sitting with you and just trying to help you through. It's really important.
I believe that it's very important to have someone that kind of understands essentially what you need to help you cope.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, when I'm coping through things, whether it's death or not, or just different relationships, like I have the want to be alone. I want to be alone, but I don't want to be alone. Like, I want someone here, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be mentally here,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think it's just the comfort of knowing that someone is around, but right. I want to be left to myself.
Right. So just having somebody there doesn't mean you have to have a constant conversation. You just sometimes yeah. you just want to be quiet with that person, but maybe you just need to support yourself.
Right. And then
yeah. educating people on helping others go through grief is another whole line of things. Because a lot of times, you know, you might be the support system for your friend, but you just don't know what to say. You know, you just don't know what to do. But again, you know, maybe offer them a cup of tea. What can I do for you? Can I run an errand for you? Do you want to talk? I'll just sit here and listen. You know, never assume how they're feeling, because you really don't know. And you're never going to fix them. You know, don't ever try to fix them. Just listen, you know, like you're saying, just be there for your friend, if no matter what kind of grief it is. Because, again, they're going to have their feelings, and you never want to say something that is just going to come out wrong. And a lot of people, they're just like, you know, a lot of people would just be like, well, you know, they had a great life, or, you know, they're in a better place, or they're better off there than here. No, that person might not want to hear that, because maybe it's their mother, or maybe it's a child that passed. And no, maybe that mother really would rather have that child here. They're not in a better place. And now the mother is not in a better place. You know, so learning how to help others is another huge education step in the grief process.
Yes, it is. I believe that. And I think that's what makes the conversation, to have the conversation about grief, so hard. The person that is grieving is already going through so much. And then you have a person that is being a support, not knowing what to say or what to do. Mm-hmm. They don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. And I know I usually tell people the best thing that you can do is to listen to what the person tells you they need.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any assumptions about what they need or what they want or what they can do. Listen to what they're telling you they're needing from you in that moment and do
Right.
that thing.
Yep, that's a great thing to tell people, because a lot of people don't understand that part, and really sometimes just listening is really all a person needs for support. Because they don't want to hear you saying the things that they definitely don't want to hear. You know, we always say things that you don't say to someone who's grieving, you know, get over it. That's no,
right.
No. Because it might be 2, 3, 4 years from now, and maybe Christmas is coming, and that person is still having a tough time getting through Christmas. You know, as a person wants to support that person, instead of not understanding and wondering why they're still grieving, they are still grieving. So what can you do to help them? What do you know, what would you like to do something different this holiday? Or, you know, would you like to go take a walk? You know, anything, get some fresh air, just anything that would be comforting.
Absolutely. I get that. I think that's the best thing, because it's just, you got to understand, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to hear, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry that happened. Like, those type of things bother, doesn't make a person feel better, you know. But I think I also try to let people know, you know, don't compare situations and what you went through when you were grieving, because, you know, we're not the same. Our situations are not the same. However you dealt with something is definitely not how I'm going to deal with it. So, you know, I think that causes a lot of extra stress as well.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was writing my book, again, it is my story through the process, but there's a lot of grief advice in the book, questions that people can answer as they're reading it, journaling pages, because everybody's story is going to look different, you know. So I try to give a lot of grief tips and things to do and things you should be doing if you're going through this situation. Of course, mine is about my grief and divorce situation, but grief is grief and the stages are still the stages. So, you know, my part of the story is really just my personal part, but there's a lot of information in there for people to try to help them and maybe figure out, like you're saying, you're not sure where you might be stuck, but maybe as you're reading through, you'll figure out which part of grief you are in, you know, and then you can move on from there and maybe get some advice or, you know, figure out things to do. To get through where you are, because a lot of people don't know what stage they're stuck in.
Right.
And people do get stuck.
Yeah, I see that a lot. It's hard to understand. I think we get all of our feelings and emotions, you know, all squished into one thing. And it's just like, I don't know right now what's happening. I don't know how I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm going through. All I know is that I feel not great, and I don't want to do anything, you know. And that happens, you guys, in every situation. So it's like grieving is the hardest thing, I think, as a human being that we can do. It's the hardest process to get through.
Agree. And I think we just don't know enough about it, which is why it's not something that's taught to us by our parents or their parents, you know, and different cultures grieve in different ways. So there is just so many ways to grieve. It's really just trying to learn some ways to cope with what you're feeling to help you maybe move to it, to another feeling, if that makes sense. But you know, you again, like you said, you could be feeling sad one day, and that's okay. You know, and maybe you're going to cry that day. That's okay too, because if you are grieving a death, we all have to remember after that death and the patient. I'm sorry, I'm thinking respiratory. The person, you know, maybe has passed away, and you've done the funeral and all that, and everybody's going to go home, and they're going to go back to their life. And you're going to be the one that's still sitting here, you know, wondering. And, you know, there's days people fall into that depression, and it's a really hard thing to get out of. But definitely I always encourage people, support. It is so important to find somebody you can talk to, be it a family member, be it a counselor, be it a grief educator, be it a coworker, but somebody in your life that you can talk to that will understand and hear you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely all need someone to have someone to confide in that's going to take the time out to hear us out and listen and just be that open ear that we need. No judgment, right. No tell me what to do, no. Yes.
Definitely, right. Definitely the no tell me what to do. And a lot of people don't want to say that to them. Just don't tell me what to do. I just want you to listen to me.
Right.
You know? But yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's very true. We have a hard time selling, you know. And I think it's because we feel bad, like, you know, and they probably, we don't want it to come out sounding angry or frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard, you know, and like we said, we weren't taught this, and it's something, I think our American culture is one of a culture that kind of pushes these type of conversations to the back burner because it's too hard to talk about, too hard to understand and work through. So we don't teach our children and we don't teach ourselves how to have these hard conversations so that we can properly get through these things and we can have positive and healthy coping mechanisms to work through.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of the reason why we have a lot of, you know, people that turn to negative sources of coping because there was never a healthy outlet or, you know, someone to help them through it.
Right. And you make a really good point, like when we were saying, like, we don't teach people this. So, and you don't, how many times, if you're out there listening, do you protect your children from having to deal with death? We think, oh, he's 5, he's 7, he shouldn't see sad things. Mm-hmm. Right. So we just keep them away from that. But really just, and again, it really depends on the person, but, trying to educate them a little bit about the fact that maybe grandma is not here anymore, you know, and where did grandma go and what happened to grandma? You know, it's not about, there's little ways that you can start to teach them about things. But I feel like in society, like you said, in the American society, we really try to protect from sadness. Nobody wants our kids to be sad. They shouldn't learn about this, but, there are ways to deal with children also. And, you know, there's coloring books out there and there's all kinds of resources about learning, you know, on the internet. There's all kinds of free stuff out there to teach your little ones about death if someone's dying, you know. And it's really not, we shouldn't be afraid to do that.
Right. I definitely don't think we should be afraid to talk about it and teach and learn about it because it's unfortunately, you know, it's a part of the life cycle.
Right.
It's something that is going to happen and we cannot avoid. We can't avoid it.
And again, like, you know, like we're saying, it might not just be the death of someone. I mean, they might be in school and maybe they're failing out, or maybe they got a job and they get fired, or maybe they're in the military and they see some, you know, comrades pass. And I mean, there's grief everywhere in the world. You know, watch the news today and there's reasons people are grieving and people don't understand that that's what they're doing.
Right. Absolutely. And just learning to identify the different types of things that you do grieve in life, unknowingly. So, maybe if you're feeling like you don't know why you're feeling a certain way, it's like, hey, it's because I lost this thing or this person and I miss them, you know, we're no longer together anymore. Like you're in your relationship. So, someone you really cared about or a friendship, you know, that you've had and you're feeling down and out about not being able to have that friend anymore. guys separating in life, or, you know, because we, that happens too. People grow apart, they go their separate ways, and that can also be a form of grief. It may not be as significant as others, but I think that we grieve a lot of things in life, and knowing to recognize, learning to recognize that that's what's happening as we grow, as mm-hmm. we meet people, and as we go through life, we're and every single day, and being able to process and understand what we're going through, I think would make a really big difference.
Yeah. The world today. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And just trying to just learn another feeling and learn that that feeling is valid and, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's just part of life. We're happy some days, we're sad some days, we're, you know, we're jumping up and down some days, but there are days we're in grief. And like you were saying, it might not be a long grief. Maybe it's, you know, a short one, but you still might go through that denial. I can't believe I lost my job. Now I'm angry I lost my job. You know, wait, let me try to get my job back. So you are stepping through all those stages that you go through in grief without realizing it. And sometimes it's a 2-week cycle, but it's for people to just learn to recognize that it's just another feeling in life, and it's normal, is I think what would help people if they can get educated on.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely think we need a lot more of that going on. Let's see here. I don't know. This conversation is, it's a tough one, guys, but I think we have to get comfortable with being able to talk about things that we're uncomfortable with. We're never going to be able to heal and process things properly if we don't learn how to have these uncomfortable conversations and learn and grow and be able to apply it to our lives. Having Lisa here, as she stated, she has a book in the episode notes for you guys to click on, be able to get, if you would like to learn more of the process and how to be able to cope with these things and deal and get through. But I'm just at a loss for words. It's just,
I think you said it very well. It is a difficult conversation. And I know you know, your show is called Late Night, right? Hanging out in late night and listening. So if people are laying in bed and you're listening to this and you're resonating with anything that we are saying, please know there are people out there to help you. And you can always just look for me. If it's not me, I will steer you in the right direction, I promise. But don't ever try to go through something alone. Just try to get someone to speak to. We're out here and we are happy to help you.
Absolutely. We are. Did you have any final thoughts before I go into our core of the night tonight?
Just basically what I just said there. That, you know, honestly, if you're out there and you're listening, we really want to help you. I know what it's like to feel the way you might be feeling right now. And there is joy out there for you. And I always try to teach people that you can carry joy on one hand and grief on the other. It's okay. So reach out if you need to talk.
Absolutely. And I think what I can just add to that is, you know, healing is a learning to carry the loss differently. You integrate it into your story instead of resisting it. I know a lot of times that we will fight what we're feeling. We'll try to hold it back. We'll try to hold it in and cover it up as much as we can. But just know at some point, some way, somehow, it will surface, and you're going to have to deal with that. Reach out to people when you can, when you need it. Don't let it overtake you. Let it out. Don't hold it in. Just feel it. Feel it and let it be whatever it is. Going to go into our quote of the night here. So tonight's quote comes directly from Lisa's book. And it is, grief is love with nowhere to go until you give it a place inside yourself to live. Let that breathe in your chest for a moment. Just let it resonate. Let it stick with you. Let it be a little reminder when you're feeling the way that you're feeling. Just to go back to that place, you know. Lisa, it has been a pleasure talking with you tonight.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
It's been a hard discussion, but, you know, we always have to talk about those things. But to those that are listening, if you're grieving anything, anyone, any version of yourself, you're not alone. Your grief is valid. Your grief is allowed. Your grief is yours, and you don't have to rush through it. So you guys take care of yourselves, take care of your mental health, and make sure that you are feeling everything that you need to feel. And until next time, remember, the night always has something to say, and we will see you guys next time.